Corinthians. I'd been studying some in it myself personally. And there's a verse that I want us to look at tonight. And it's a very important verse. Down in verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." How important that is. But here, listen to this. Verse 13, this is where it's at. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." And that's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. I want to preach about this verse. "There is no temptation taking you." There is no temptation taking you. Now, he's talking in this verse. It's pretty plain, I think, for most people. There are those that say that this verse has something to do with our salvation. In other words, like everybody's got a chance to be saved. And listen, salvation's not a chance that we take. Amen. And it's not something we step up to and roll the dice on or something like that. You know, and if we don't get the temptation thing right, then we're out. And that's pretty much what some men may say. But it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with dealing with temptation. And the believer dealing with sin. The whole chapter is talking about how that the children of Israel were tempted in the wilderness. And so it's about dealing with temptation and what to do with temptation. And that temptation, listen, it's an attraction is what that is, or a desire to do wrong or to do something very unwise. Listen to me. So that's what a temptation is. You remember when Satan came and tempted Eve and tempted Adam? Listen, if you want to know about something, go back to the principle of first mention. Right there, that's the first temptation that had ever taken place. And what did he want her to do? He wanted her to doubt God. Very unwise. Twisted God's word. Very unwise. I tell you, I hear educated men all the time. And some, they'll read out of the King James Bible. But this is, listen, and I don't mind anybody expounding on words and verses. I do that. We get more of an understanding of what God is saying, what the apostles or the prophet is saying in his word. But to say this, it would be better said. You ain't never going to hear that come out of my mouth. I'll tell you something. It's said the way it's said because that's the way God wanted it said. And there ain't no better way to say it. Amen. Amen. They ain't no better way to say it than the way God said to say it. Amen. And so this temptation that he's looking at, and what a promise for me and you as believers that are daily tempted. We're going to be daily tempted. We're going to be daily subject to temptation. And we have an adversary that constantly tempts us. Satan, he even tempted our Lord. Listen, nobody's above temptation. Listen, God made us a promise here. "There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man." In other words,
temptations that all men know about. We're not talking about some temptation that's never been heard of, that's just so unrealistic above man or our creation. Amen? He's not talking about, he's talking about that common temptation to man. God is faithful. I'm glad God is faithful. In the middle of temptation, you remember that. God is faithful. God's faithful. No matter what it is, listen, a temptation don't necessarily have to mean, you know, a stark sin to you know, cheat on your wife or cheat on your husband. A temptation could be doubt God. You know, like Eve, she doubted God. I mean, God told him, the day you eat, you're going to die. And Satan caused her to doubt that. I mean, surely if she'd had, really believed, she wouldn't have doubted God. She'd have believed God. You either believe God, trust God, or you doubt God. I don't ever want to doubt God. And it's easy sometimes. It's not, I mean, listen, sometimes just you and I get in a dark place. Amen? Get to needing something really bad. Get to needing help really bad, and it don't come just when you think. You start doubting. See, we can doubt real easy. But he said, God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God knows what you are able to be tempted with. And he's not going to tempt you with something above that ye are able. Now, it does not say God won't put on you more than you can bear. The Bible doesn't say that. People say, you know, God said he wouldn't put no more on us than we can bear. Oh, he don't say that. He said he won't let us be tempted above that we're able. But I'm going to tell you something. There's times you and I get in a place you don't think you can bear anymore. We have to cast our care upon him. Why? Because we can't bear it. Only he can bear it. Amen. So, above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. If there's a temptation, there's going to be a way of escape. God don't let us have a temptation and no way of escape. There's always a way of escape. Amen. And that you may be able to bear it. That way of escape allows you and I to be able to bear it. Get out from under it. Get away from it. Overcome it. Get victory over it. Amen. Now, so I want us to look at this real close. There's no temptation taking you. I mean, that means it's to get a hold of you. Temptations can get a hold of you and me. I mean, they can interfere in your life. They can come and I'll tell you what a temptation does. Temptation just shows up and he's like this. He's right in your face. And no matter where you move, he's moving. Are you hearing me? A temptation will get a hold of you. He will come into your life unannounced. That's what temptation does. And that's what it means to get a hold. I mean, he's there and he's got your attention. Amen. He's got your mind. And he's working on the problem. Amen. He's coming at you from every angle. Temptation. I said this here a week or so ago about the temptation of Christ. Satan knew exactly what to tempt him with. He knew he'd been 40 days without food, and he said, why don't you turn this stone to bread? You see, he knows right where. He knows. Listen, what may tempt you may not tempt me. And what tempts me may not tempt you. But the devil knows which temptations that you and I are weak on. And God help us in our weakness. Amen. We need to go to the Lord that we'd be strong in our weakness. So don't let it get a hold of us, such as is common to man. I've already said that. I mean, it's just every man. They know about these things. They have the same struggles. They have the same trials. Are you listening? They have the same temptations. But God is faithful. He's trustworthy. Trustworthy. God's trustworthy. You can believe God. That's what that means. Faith, that word faithful means you can believe Him. Amen. He's trustworthy. And He'll not suffer. He'll not permit it. He'll not just leave it alone. He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above. That means to beyond or more than you're able. More than you're able. More than possible for you. It's just not possible for you to get out from underneath it. It's not possible for you to get away from it. God said, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able. But will with the temptation. That word with, now that brings a union there. So with the temptation is a way of escape. There's that union. Listen, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. It's a union, amen? You can't have one without the other. I'll tell you what, I'd say Job had a whole lot of grace in his day of temptation. Amen? A whole lot of grace. God will, with the temptation, also make a way. Make a way of escape. An exit. Amen. An end to it all. An end way to escape. That you may be able to bear it. To have that hardship. Amen. To come upon you. To bear from underneath. You get that on top of you. There's been times I've had things on my shoulder that I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to turn this loose. I'm talking physically and spiritually. There's times it can be that way. You don't think absolutely you're going to be able to carry that thing. But you are. Temptation's not, listen, it doesn't come and it's light and it's flowery and it smells nice. I mean, it could introduce itself that way in some, but I'm saying temptation's not easy. That's what I'm saying. It's meant to be hard. It's meant for you and I. Its purpose is to get us to sin. That's the purpose of temptation. It's going to cause you and I to sin. Amen. I'm not talking about the trials that God puts us through. I'm talking about temptation. That's what he's talking about here. Temptation to sin. I'll show you here in a second what to do with that. Verse 14, I want you to look at this. He got done saying, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You know how to get away from temptation? Flee from it. Flee from it. That's the first thing I saw. Flee from it. Amen. Listen, you can't sit outside. If you've got a problem with alcohol, you can't sit outside a liquor store debating. You can't bring it in your house and put it on a counter as a friendly reminder of who you used to be. Listen, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. No evil. Amen. Listen, God help us not to just stay around it. Let it, as the old timers say, let it build a nest in your head. Amen. No, flee. Flee, he said, from idolatry. Flee from temptation. Verse 15, look what he said here. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Let me say this. You and I need to judge that temptation. To distinguish, to decide mentally or judicially, or I'll say this, spiritually. To make a determination. Judge ye what I say. You take a temptation, look at it, and make a right decision. Make a right judgment. Is this going to cause me to sin? Is this going to take me away from God? Is this going to hurt my family? Is this the will of God for my life? Is this something that's just going to enter my life and destroy me? I want to tell you what it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Listen, a lot of times we can dismiss the huge things. Them tiny things we think, oh, I mean, this is really not that bad. This is really not that bad. This is not a big deal. I don't even know if this could be considered sin or not. You look at how many of them things we've got in our life and then wonder why the power of God don't move in our life. Amen. Jesus did say the small foxes spoil the vine. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Amen. Now, judge, distinguish. I can remember when I was a young preacher. And I remember hearing so many different things out of so many different preachers. And I had been reading my Bible. The Lord had just put it in me to know His Word. And I was just constantly through the New Testament. And He brought to my mind, judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. You know, it was about principles. I mean, years ago, and old timers used to preach against fellowship halls. Do you know that? Did you just know that? They quote the Bible. Bible says, you've got homes to eat in, eat at home. And they was taking that over there where he was talking about the Lord's Supper. Because people did. They came in the early church for the Lord's Supper, and they was ate like a banquet. They was eating at the house of God. And how wicked that was. That's right. You don't take the Lord's Supper and make a big banquet out of it. Amen. You eat at home. But that's where they took the thought. But now listen, the same ones, they'd eat underneath a shed. Listen, I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I'm saying, Judge, the Lord told me, son, you need to look at a thing when it's not clear, black and white in the Scripture, and you need to look at a thing and judge righteous judgment. And I thought, what's the difference if we'll eat under a shed or eat in a building that's enclosed? What's the difference? There wasn't any difference. One just a little nicer than the others. You're still on the church grounds. Right? But I don't believe, not for one minute, that you need to bring it right inside this sanctuary. Absolutely not. Amen? Never. Never. Anyways, let me go on. You need to judge, determine these temptations. In verse number 16, look what he said. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion is the word I want us to look at. When it comes to temptation, listen. If you partake of it, you're making a partnership with it. You're participating. Or even in today's society, you can commune by communicating. People are communicating. That's where that word comes from. To communicate, to communion. To have that fellowship, that participation. Right down in verse 17 and 18, twice, he mentioned about being partakers. We see something, you're going to be a partaker or not. I don't need to be a partaker of that way. I don't need to have communion with that. Do I need to have communion with that? Listen, it can come in so many ways. Communion. Today, the communion is, you know, men saying we need to, you know, put aside doctrine that we can all fellowship on the things we do agree on. Now I'm going to look at that temptation right there for a second. Should I commune with that? Should I lay aside God's word so that I can have fellowship with other men that don't believe the Bible the way that I do? Listen, I'll love people and pray for people, but I can't have communion. I can't be partakers with them. Amen. Let me give you the last one for this evening. Verse number 19. He's talking about it in verse number 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is in anything? Sacrifice. To slay for a purpose. So, when I see a temptation, I can either partake, or I can sacrifice the want of my flesh. Your flesh, a lot of times, is going to want it. And you've got to slay it. I've got to slay it. I know some of these, it looked like I had to reach out a little bit. But it's all talking about temptation. And the interaction with temptation. And here they are being partakers of sacrifices. Well, they had to look at that They were tempted with that. So they could have either walked away or communed with it, partook of it. How that you and I think the big one, we need to flee, we need to judge. Amen. We need to flee and we need to judge when it comes to these temptations. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to me for a few minutes this evening.